Chapter 13. The daytime stood still. Roy's testimony. Author's note: this writing is not penned with any human understanding. I am only sharing with you what I saw and heard from beyond the veil. Throughout this booklet, I have quoted many supernatural encounters with our Heavenly Father which are in God's love letters. In my previous writing, Passion, I gave an account of my personal encounter with heaven in 1981. I have been told I needed to go into more detail of this encounter with the third heaven, God's home. So here it goes, hang on if you can. Many today are skeptics of the supernatural. It is interesting that the early church in the book of Acts was a church that believed in the supernatural, heaven and all that is there. So why do we today have such a problem with the Earth's training school that prepares us to live such a supernatural life for eternity? This writing is about recognizing and living this kind of life here on Earth. Matthew 6 verses 9 to 10 AMP says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, kept holy, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This to me is sufficient evidence that kingdom living can take place here. Whether you approve or disapprove, the facts are clear. Supernatural living is a major theme in God's Word, the Bible. Our Father, Creator, Universal Sovereign Trinity, has been proving Himself in the lives of His selected servants from Genesis to Revelation. Many today are saying that the phenomenon of miracles and the supernatural that operated when Christ and His rowdy bunch were here passed away with them. This is false, of course. This would have interrupted God's plan of the ages and prevented His training of His sons and daughters for kingdom reigning and to be His bride. In 1981, my whole world was rocked by a supernatural challenge. As an easily frightened Kansas boy, even the Twilight Zone TV series in black and white, of course, scared me. I was not only fearful of such things, I was a skeptic. Many who will read this will identify with me and know how I felt. Yet, hasn't God put evidence of His existence around us, making it very clear that we are without excuse for not knowing Him? Many have grown up knowing about witchcraft and the occult, astrology, voodoo, and the New Age sect. If we have been privileged to travel to foreign lands, either in the military, on vacation tours, or foreign secular jobs, many have brushed elbows with culture and foreign gods. Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, and all the other isms are also included. I will never forget my first brush with foreign gods. I was a medic in Da Nang, Vietnam. It was 1965 and I was in the Vietnam War. You might remember in my testimony, I was raised as a Protestant. In 1964, in the Navy Chapel at San Diego, California, I gave my heart to Jesus and signified this by writing such in a Gideon New Testament, my written commitment to Jesus Christ. Then 2 years later, 1966, in Vietnam, I was deep in contemplation of life and the hereafter. During my first few weeks in Asia, my life was almost taken three times, and I was very troubled as to my destiny in life. This writing is addressed specifically to the body of Christ. Since my Heavenly Father, Abba, has chosen those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, the saints, the people of God. In Revelation chapters 1 and 2, there is a clear call to this specific group of people to hear and do as the Scripture teaches. The reason many do not respond to this urgent cry of the Spirit of the living God is they do not have spiritual ears to hear. God's Word, time after time, speaks of hearing and seeing with our spirit. To bring this to clarity, we may see and hear with spiritual vision and spiritual hearing. We must worship Him in spirit and truth. John 3 verse 3 AMP stated it clearly, as he relates the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Jesus said, "Unless a person is born again, anew, from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God." Yes, we must be born of the Spirit. This then is the start of our journey beyond the veil. One thing I have experienced in my journey is we must be passionate for these heavenly things, since we will be living this way for eternity. As I now rely on the Holy Spirit to recall those events in my room in 1981, my heart races and my ready writer pen is ready to capture your heart. As I remember from Beyond the Veil, the following encounter, which has become my daily lifestyle. I remember in 1981, from April to October, having three specific God encounters. We must remember that God is always passionately pursuing us, His bride, even if we lack understanding of such. Yet soon we will start seeing and hearing as He does because ground zero has taken place. Our own personal Damascus Road experience. My Damascus Road experience was much like Paul's experience. God led His selected servants to intercede for me in prayer. Jesus Himself, in His priestly intercessory role sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, was also speaking on my behalf, Hebrews 7 verse 25. Like Paul, I was running with my own agenda, yet God's Spirit remained hot on our trails. And we soon encountered the Spirit of the true God in Beyond the Veil experiences. We were changed with a heavenly camera rolling the film so we could start seeing and hearing what the Spirit says. Then we were both knocked off our horse of circumstance and downloaded upon by heaven itself. How could we remain the same? Paul changed immediately and so did I. Because we both went beyond the veil. I remember well the fight I was having with my mind and my flesh during those 7 months and the three God encounters. I speak here of the third one, the most significant one, which changed my whole character and pointed to my destiny. It was 1965 and I was in Vietnam. I had often encountered the false god of Buddhism. I was stationed in a field hospital called China Beach, located some 3 miles to the south of the city of Da Nang. As is normal in the countries of Asia, the people set up their idols and shrines, foreign gods, in order to worship them. We were in a sandy beach area, many small Vietnamese villages were all around. One day I had some time to rest for a few hours, so I walked over to a shrine. It had a large cement area and I lay down to get some sunshine. Soon I became aware that someone was putting curses on me. It was a very strange feeling. As I later found out, there was a sect of Buddhist monks that were putting curses on the US servicemen. Since then I have realized just how real these things can be. Several years ago, my friend in Pointman Ministries was concerned about these curses. He studied and found them to be true. It was really happening. There was a group of Buddhist monks that would organize themselves in the Republic of Vietnam during those 10 years. They prayed three specific curses upon the men and women whom came to fight in the war. The three specific curses were: 1. That we would be angry men the rest of our lives. 2. We would lack peace. 3. We would be wandering men the rest of our lives. As ministers in Pointman Ministries, during our counseling with veterans, we have had success with men who have been willing to break these three curses from their lives. I did these things and have had freedom in these areas of my life. Soul ties also must be broken when men have made them with foreign women. Remember the problem Solomon brought on when he compromised with foreign women and their gods? Now I am excited to turn the heavenly clock back to August 1981 at 9 p.m. in my room and relate a vision beyond the veil. As I write, I will rely totally on the Holy Spirit's recall. So you are in for a treat. For this is the Holy Spirit's account of that eventful night. Have you ever stepped out to walk on the water with Christ? Peter did, and in so doing he put action to his faith. Even if it's only a mustard seed faith on our part, Jesus, who is wholeness of faith, will supply the rest. Yes, that day in 1981 it was my time to step out on the water and prove the word in relation to the Holy Spirit. Or I knew I would die. Have you ever felt that way? I was desperately expectant and now God showed me that which I was praying. Asking of Him. It was 9 p.m., I was home from work and my roommate was sleeping. I went into my room, shut the door, and raised my hands to heaven in an act of total surrender. I did not have long to wait. Quickly my mouth spoke in English and said, "Father, Son, Holy Spirit, prove the truth of the Spirit to me." Yes, I had to step out on the water and prove the word or I felt like I would die. I was desperate. I was thanking the Lord that my roommate was asleep. Now I could have a showdown with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I wanted truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. I was very reluctant, but I stood and raised my hands to heaven in an act of surrender and blurted out, If the Holy Spirit is real, then prove it to me now, or I will leave this whole thing alone, God. The next thing that happened, I started speaking things that I did not know and understand. I was speaking in tongues unknown to me. At first it was very weak, then as the minutes went on into the evening it became stronger. It seemed I was not bound by time. My breathing rate increased and I became aware that I was speaking in an unknown language. The pitch increased, the tones were varied and authoritative, and the unknown words kept right on coming. I was aware of a strengthening and a conviction, and then a change of pace which included my hands, arms, and body gestures as if in battle. Later God took me to the scripture in Psalm 18 verse 34. He trains my hands for battle. The fervor became intense, and although I was frightened, I continued on and on, as some powerful force was moving my mouth and body in a way I had never experienced. I was afraid to stop and examine the situation, for I knew something extraordinary was taking place and I was to ride this wild ride. It was wild, and I rode it to its conclusion that night. After several hours I became tired. I noticed another tone in the dialect of this unknown language which I was speaking. I heard something like screams leaving my room, so I prayed in tongues louder and louder. Then I saw Satan materialize in the corner of my room. He was furious. He was losing his hold on me and he knew it. I felt faint from fright. Something inside of me kept me praying and rebuking as the night wore on. Soon the presence of Satan left my room, and I noticed that this prayer in the spirit for my soul now was working to clean out all of the evil spirits that were in my life. By now I was very tired. I slowly walked to my friend David's room. I found him praying in this same unknown language, the same language as I had been praying for hours. I exclaimed, "David, I don't know what is happening to me, but I need your assistance. Please come to my room." His excited reply was, "Brother, I have been hearing demons scream and leave this house for the last 2 hours." He had awakened from a sound sleep and had been led to pray by the Holy Spirit. He was told to help me and to do warfare prayers for me. I certainly needed his support because this was so new and unfamiliar to me. So we continued this warfare, which I was now convinced was real and not just something I had imagined. One more hour passed and the intensity increased yet with more vigor. I felt safe and more confident that I was not losing my mind. Slowly the intensity died down and it seemed our job was nearing completion. Then we started entering into laughter and joy such as I had never experienced before. We were falling on the floor and on the bed. The joy of the Spirit had now become my strength, and the laughter was a manifestation of this baptism in the Spirit. Soon David returned to his room. It was very late and I needed to rest. I was still very unsure and shaky. I know that I had spoken in three unknown languages that evening. I learned later that one was for self-edification, or to build me up spiritually, and the other two for traveling and for aggressive intercession. The Lord told me to arise and stand up to the call He had put on my life, one that I seemed unable to attain or even understand. I was excited even though the early morning was approaching. I had to call and tell someone. I remembered Don Francisco's song, "I've Got to Tell Somebody." The words to that song spoke to me. I phoned one of my best friends, and they were immediately aware there was something different about me. They told me they felt the presence of the Lord while we were on the phone. I told them I had had a divine visitation and that I wasn't sure just what to call it. But I just had to tell somebody. Well, it's not over till it's over, even though I had thought it was. I had just turned my bedroom light off to ready myself for sleep. If this were possible after such an encounter. Then my room lit up as bright as daylight and I suddenly had a vision. Wow! What a vision! I had never had one before, I was freaking out. A heavenly light from God's throne shone into my room from above. Thinking I'd had just about all the excitement I could handle in one day, I needed to just lean back and take a deep breath. Where was this light coming from? I sat up and looked to the right side of my room where the wall was blank. There was a door on the left side, which was closed. I could not have tried to pass this vision off, as it was too intense. Way too much. Instead, with the rest of the evening behind me, I decided, bring it on. At this point my paradigm, my tent pegs, as it were, had already expanded beyond my imagination. I carefully opened my eyes to this bright light, and sat straight up in my bed. I soon became aware I had been transported into the third heaven. I was at the foot of the heavenly throne. I had been reading Revelation chapter 1 where John had an experience, a vision. I believe I experienced much the same as John did. I felt as if I were a dead man. This was a very awkward place for me to be, in front of the heavenly throne, in the awesome presence of the Son of God. I finally took a shallow breath. I had been afraid to move or breathe. I took a tour with my eyes. I wanted to make a mental note of my surrounding, hoping to remember every detail. I definitely was in heaven. Without doubt. I was at the foot of the heavenly throne. I remembered the words of Psalm 24 verse 3 and Psalm 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart? I asked myself, is that me? How can that be? Well, I wasn't dead yet. I was breathing with short, shallow breaths. I was overwhelmed. In total awe. Questions started to flow through my mind. Why am I here? Why me? What should I do? The questions were rapid fire and filled my mind. I was so overwhelmed. I felt like I was suffocating, so I took a long, deep breath. And held it. As I did, the peace of the Lord filled my being. I could tell I was in the presence of the King of Glory. The next few events were very important because they were to affect my service to the King and ministry for the rest of my life. I was acutely aware of the Father's presence, but I was not allowed to see Him. I did see an intense light, the Shekinah glory of God. His manifest presence surrounded a throne of magnificent splendor. Jesus, Himself, the Son of the Almighty God, was sitting on the throne looking at me. On either side of the throne were these gigantic angelic creatures. They were constantly praising Him. Behind the throne I saw the boundary of the heavenly city. The New Jerusalem. I also saw a gate with a dark figure that was forbidden to enter the heavenly city. I knew this dark figure was Satan, our adversary. He was angry about having lost me that night. The Holy Spirit delivered me from Lucifer and his demonic helpers, and now I was free. Yes, I was free. So now what? I guess that's why I had been allowed to go there. As the vision continued, I was trying to understand my part. The next few minutes, seconds, hours, who's counting time? I was in heavenly time, which is without limit. One day is as 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is as one day. God was giving me a brief glimpse of King Jesus on His throne. I observed His hair that looked like a liquid light. He was wearing a long priestly robe. And His feet had sandals, and they looked like polished bronze. His eyes were as the most brilliant light on earth. He looked right into me. I felt transparent and exposed. Not in a bad way, but I felt like He saw me as a finished product. Somehow as if I already possessed the kingdom. Not the fledgling I felt like. His love for me. When He looked into me. It had ruined me for the ordinary. I wanted only to please Him from then on. I had never before had this type of passion. This type of desire. Never before had I had an infusion of completeness in my spirit. And now all I wanted to do was tell everyone about Him. I was enjoying my adventure in this heavenly place. Though I questioned my purpose for being allowed there. I didn't have long to wait because things seemed to move quickly ahead. I went from a position on my knees, at the foot of the throne. A prostrate position in an act of humility and reverence. I knew I had been allowed to come this far, and now I was to understand the purpose for my being there. I lay unable to move as the next event unfolded. I heard a voice. I instinctively knew it was Jesus. His voice resonated in my spirit and imprinted on my mind. Roy, I have called you to intercede. To help deliver my people from their darkness. I have given you a gift package, and you will have all the tools and power you need to accomplish my purposes. Only there is a condition. And it is this: you must stay in subjection at my feet. Praying and interceding. This must precede any ministry into the darkness of this world. and you will see many set free. Just as you have been set free today. Now go and preach and teach after you have prayed and interceded. If you leave this place of intercession, you will not have the power of my early church. I was back in my room again. My senses and emotions were fighting to digest the things I had seen and heard. They really can't be absorbed, because they were all spiritual. Spirit and flesh cannot understand each other. I remained in this spiritual state for parts of 3 days. I wept and wept for the lost people all over the world. I wept non-stop for those 3 days. I believe I was given a touch of the Father's heart and I would never, ever be the same. I now knew what my vision, calling and purpose was to look like. And now I had some of the details. I was ready to enter the school of the Holy Spirit, which has continued to this day.